Hey.
Welcome. What up?
Welcome to the Poser Podcast. I'm Ian Campbell.
And I'm Benjamin Beam.
That's right, you are.
And we are posers.
Yeah, who else would you be?
That's a very good question.
I just burped.
I heard that.
Yeah.
As you pulled away from the microphone.
I did, because I'm kind.
So it sounded like a trickle of baby burps.
That's weird. Does it stop being polite if you tell people that you burped?
I don't know. I think maybe. But then if they already knew it, like I did.
Yeah.
Then it's kind of like an apology.
Kind of.
Sort of.
But these people didn't know I did it.
I don't know.
I don't want to think about this anymore.
I don't know. It hurts my head.
Yeah. It's not fun.
So how you been, man?
I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm doing in-service all this week.
That's...
Which is just a classroom
no
training.
Fun.
No, it's not. Although, that does mean I was off on Sunday, and I will be off on this Saturday, and then I will work Sunday and Monday, and then I'll be off on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I'll go back to my regular schedule.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Is Gretchen off on Saturdays?
No, she works on Saturdays. Mm. Yeah.
Does she have a day off?
She has 3 days off, actually, technically. She has Sunday, Monday, and Tuesdays. But Sundays, we do stuff at Hope all day long, so it doesn't really feel like a day off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Sunday never feels like a day off.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
Speaking of which, yesterday was Easter Sunday.
Easters.
Easters.
Easters. Ben was in a video for, I actually got to go to my brother's church yesterday, and it was awesome, and Ben was in a video there.
Yeah.
It was all quoting stuff and and all cool looking.
For the record, if you guys ever see the video, I did not write that piece of spoken word.
No, you didn't.
But it was good, and I did tweak it a little bit, because I tweaked it a little bit. Put my fingerprints all over it.
That's gross.
It's a spoken word piece, so.
That's true. That just means you can't wipe them off. It also technically means you can't put them on.
That's what I'm saying. How technical are we getting with this analogy? Because
hey, listen,
I can trump you right off the bat.
I should be in a commercial.
That was pretty awesome.
Oh.
I think my favorite part was the look on your face. You just got really excited.
It's my Mountain Dew, man.
Do the D.
It's the nectar of the gods. Don't say that. It freaked me out.
What?
Whatever you just said.
Do the D.
Don't tell me to do.
So I was listening. To one of my favorite podcasts yesterday, the Judge John Hodgman. What?
What? Nothing?
The Judge John Hodgman podcast. And this is probably not going to sound funny, but it was really funny when he said it, because he was just talking and rambling on and everything, and they're doing their fun drive. And he was saying, sometimes he gets to talking, and then doesn't realize what he said until after he said it. And he was telling everybody, like, the reasons they should donate and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, don't donate, do donate. Like, that's our new slogan. Like, don't donate, do donate. It's like, I'm going to have to steal that.
That's awesome.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
You know, being a comedian and all.
Yeah.
Isn't he a comedian?
He is.
Okay, that's what I thought.
His special Ragnarok is on Netflix.
Really?
Or it was. I'm not sure if it still is.
I've never seen it.
It was pretty funny.
Clearly, I didn't know he was for sure a comedian.
It was on December, it was the 22nd? No, 12th. Whenever the world was supposed to end, according to the Mayan calendar.
Oh, that's
or
funny.
Whatever. His special was that night, and it was all about how the world was going to end by the time everybody got out. And everything, and then And it was really cool. It was really like a genius, a whole genius setup, because like he had it set up so that the show would run past when the end of the world was supposed to be.
That's awesome.
So that like they had this countdown and everything. And then nothing happened. He's like, well, I was wrong. Like, I don't really know what to do now. It was pretty great.
That's so him. That's just perfect.
Yeah. So it's pretty good.
That is good. So, man, I was thinking the other day. I work with a bunch of people who are not followers of what we believe. And a lot of them are just, I don't know, like, in my mind, it's divided. Of course, it's divided into sections because I'm OCD. Yeah. But, like, there's people like us who believe this, you know, belief system that we have, which is Christianity, which, like we said before, it's not the same Christianity that the world necessarily, you know, talks about or has. When someone who doesn't believe in what we believe, when they hear the word Christianity, is not the same thing as what we believe. It's
kind of an ambiguous label these days.
Yeah, which I hate using it, but that's what our religion is called.
Yeah.
So, anyways, there's the people who believe what we believe, and they hold that moral, you know, they stay on that moral ground. You know, they hold that moral standards for themselves. And then there's people who don't believe what we believe, but they still, you know, they have morals. They still have values and morals and hold, you know, true to their standards and morals. And then there's people who, which these aren't, no one, like, I'm dividing them into sections. You guys should know that it's more of a pie chart, less of a, you know, scaling system.
Yeah.
I don't hold myself above
it's
anybody
not a graph.
Else. Yeah. Yeah. I don't hold myself above anybody else. I just divide things into categories because I'm OCD. but then there's those people, who seem to be just trying to figure it out. And then there's the people who don't care. They're not trying to figure anything out. They're just living, just breathing in air every day and continuing to move in a direction.
Right.
Have no real guidelines or any kind of sense of where they're going. They just go.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to be surrounded by those people at work. There's a few who do tend to have either some kind of moral system or they claim Christianity, but where I work tends to bring out the bad in people, so I don't ever really know who the people are that I'm working with, but which is really sad. I realized the other day, I was sitting there with a bunch of people I was working with. I don't think they listen, but I'm still not going to name names or anything. In fact, I don't even think they know I do this. I was sitting out there, and they were all talking about their sex lives, which is something I never want to hear about, but they always talk about it.
Yeah.
That's something I've dealt with in life, you know, in the, you grow up and you join the workforce, you're probably going to deal with that.
Yeah.
Unless you are like my brother and you work at a church, which even then
deal with
it. Yeah.
From a different perspective usually, but
yeah, you'll still have some kind of dealings with it.
Yeah.
And it took a minute. I was listening to all these guys talk about this stuff, and there were some sergeants out there, you know, some officers, it's just a counselor or two, which counselors are like officers. They just, they have a different kind of job description. They hold classes and stuff like that, and they do less of the, you know, tussling. They're mostly in program buildings. So I was standing out there, or sitting out there, and they were all smoking, and I was out there with them because I don't want to just sit inside by myself. and we were on visitation too, so I didn't have to be inside. I wasn't just like leaving inmates just to do what they want.
Yeah.
But
Billy, you're in charge.
Yeah, you keep them calm down. But
come back in. Where'd everybody go?
You said I'm in charge. I let them out. No, we don't do that. We don't do that. But we're sitting out there, and they're all talking about it, and it took me a minute to realize that most of the people who are talking about their sex lives and all the women they've slept with or and stuff like that are married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess since, they probably, they're not, hold they don't hold to the, which I constantly have to remind myself, they don't hold themselves to the same moral standards I do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad thing for them. That's just a thing that they did. And I was like, they just think that that's the thing that they did before they got married. That's fine, it's whatever. I mean, it's not fine according to what I believe, but it's they don't think they're doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, so I was kind of getting in that mindset. And just listening, and I don't ever really participate in these conversations because I have nothing to say.
yeah.
But, so I was just sitting there listening, and then one of them out there, a male, older guy, started to talk about his wife and how he sometimes pretends to be asleep because he doesn't want to get involved with her. And I was like, this is the same guy who was just talking about how he was, doing all this other stuff with all these other women, but he doesn't want to touch his wife. And he was like, man, I've been there for 25 years. I don't need to do that anymore. And I was like,
wow.
And that's when I spoke up. I was like, wait a minute. Who were the women you were just talking about? And I was like, were any of those women your wife? He was like, no, man. I was like, and then he looked at some of the other officers and smiled and said, and she don't know about him either. And I was like, so this was after you got married? He was like, yeah. Ain't nobody in this compound sleep with the same woman their whole marriage. I was like, I have.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's the only woman I've slept with.
Yeah.
Ever. And they looked at me like I had smallpox. There's something wrong with me. Like, really? And then, I mean, they don't all look at it. It's so funny to me because when I say that, some of them will look at me like, oh, man, you're missing out. You don't know what's, blah, blah, blah. And those are always the ones that you can tell they're most insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones you can always tell that they are holding on to all the notches in their belt or their bedpost because of some kind of insecurity. They're holding on to that as a reputation.
Right.
And but without fail, the people who were bragging the most, 5 minutes ago about all the women they slept with and what they did and blah, 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 look at me after I say that, man, and go, man, that's awesome. Man, that's incredible. It's like, man, I obviously couldn't do that. It's like, man, that's what's up. You that's awesome. And then most of them question me again, like no woman. Ain't no, like, you ain't even, nothing. Like, no, you ain't slept with no woman before her. She's the only one. And I was like, yeah. Like, she slept with somebody though, didn't she? I was like, no, she was a virgin too when we got married. And, I'm the only guy she's ever had. And then, their faces and stuff start to change. And they start to ask me, questions like, well, how's that feel? Like, what's that like? They're like, well, I guess that, you don't really compare to anybody. You don't have to impress anyone.
Yeah.
And I was like, exactly.
Yeah.
We're discovering this for the first time together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no need for me to try and impress anyone or anything like that. Like, this is, it's so far beyond anything you have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is the one I'm with forever. And, like, we experienced that one thing. We experienced that for the first time together and are you know, currently, you know, discovering it and everything like that. I don't get into too much detail, you know. I'm not like them. But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
And then they, you know, I'm just like, and that is, that's is more incredible than anything you've said so far. Like, and it, I didn't say this to them, but it killed me inside. Because it hit me right when those words came out of my mouth. This is more incredible than anything you've experienced so far. And then it hit me, and you can't experience it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the boat sailed for that specific experience. Now, there is redemption. I mean, it's not over.
Yeah.
You know, you can, anyone who's had that, who's done that before, can come back from that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not damaged goods. Like,
right.
You're still the beautiful creation that God made you before.
Right.
You know, you just, that one thing is something that's gone now that, you know, you can't get that back. You can't, you know, like Brett, the guy, the youth pastor that I work under at Hope, he always says that, you know, if anybody ever, he's talking to teenagers, if anybody, he says, is if anybody ever pressures you to do that, And they start pressuring you into doing that, and they make you feel like you're not cool because you haven't done it yet. You just look at them and say that I can be like you tonight,
mm-hmm.
but you can never be like me.
Yeah.
Again. And that just made me so sad because they don't. Something that is so incredible to me. They don't care about, and they just walk right over it like it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most beautiful things that I've ever experienced in my life, they just throw it away. And it's just, it was just a picture of sin, you know, and what that has done to our world,
yeah.
and our culture, and just. Just the people today,
mm-hmm.
like it made me so sad because like it's just like you walk around seeing people throwing gold on the ground and just leaving it there, like for no reason, and wondering why they can't find, you know, I don't know, like. They're just throwing it on the ground and leaving it there like it doesn't matter. And they're wondering why they can't find the fulfillment that they're looking for in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
They're wondering why they can't find true love and someone who will just love them for who they are and be with them forever. And, you know, they're Prince Charming or whatever. They're wondering why they have this hole that in their heart that they can't, you know, fill, and this need that they can't satisfy.
Yeah.
And they're just, and it's not just, you know, a real love or a real marriage. It's, we've said this before on the podcast, I am a firm believer that you can't really know what love is, like true, unadulterated love.
Mm-hmm.
Until you know Christ.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you might love someone. I'm not saying you can't love someone.
Yeah.
But you can't really know what love is until you know what Christ, who Christ is. And you have right. that relationship with him. Because it makes so much more sense
mm-hmm.
after that. You know, for me, I kind of got it the other way around. Like, I knew who Christ was. And under... and you know, I had a, I'll never understand why he did it, or the weight, the full weight of what he did. But you know, I understand as much, I understood as much as I could at the time,
mm-hmm.
which I, you know, still, and I, to this now, I know more than I did then, but you know, I understood as much as I could at the time. And then I got married and it made so much more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like having that relationship and, you know, having God in my life just means, makes everything mean so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I got to this point, but it just walking around there every day, and which is why, that's why I'm glad we're doing this again, because it, it,
yeah.
And you know why I really want to, you know, get me, you and Ethan and Ryan, you know, to meet up again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm working on Sunday morning, so it's harder for me to go to church. I have to go either on Saturday night or on Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it can be kind of hard. I don't ever want to get like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever want to lose, to walk around this earth and just throw the beauty away and walk on it and just not see it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want life to lose its luster like it has for them.
Yeah.
And you know, I know what I'm surrounded by, and I know the gifts that I have are gifts, and where they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I am blessed in the fact that I can walk around this earth and walk around just even the prison and just revel in just like the glory that God has, you know, placed on this earth. And
yeah.
And it's, I don't know. It's just, I don't ever want to get like that jaded, yeah. You know? So that's why I'm glad we're doing this again and we're keeping it going, because this is the place where I can come and talk about that, you know? Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel like that's
something that really struck a chord with what you were talking about, is, you know, people trying to find things to fill that hole.
Yeah.
That's been a huge, and is still a huge theme in my life, and something that I'm constantly exploring and diving into in my relationship with the Lord, is the issue of identity.
Yeah.
Like, that has been something that has always been, and especially the past few years, I mean, it's always been something that I think has been a part of me.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know. It was like there was this untapped, maybe innate knowledge or innate interest in the issues of identity.
Yeah.
But I didn't have the tools to unearth them, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't have the tools to make them, to figure out what I was dealing with.
Yeah.
Until I went to college and I started studying a lot of literature, and we had to, there's this one class in particular where we took different philosophers, throughout, from Plato all the way down to the 20th century. You know, we take these philosophers and talk about their view on life and on literature. And, I mean, there's just so many different, like so many guys have had so many different ideas about what the world is and what life is. It's crazy. But like, and then we would have to take that particular view and look at a piece of literature through their perspective.
Yeah.
And see what we could find. And it was training us to be critical of literature and to be able to find hidden elements and stuff like that. And one of the biggest things that has that really stood out to me, and that I began to apply to every class that I was in, it just jumped out at me,
mm-hmm.
is this idea of existence, of identity, of existentialism. Like, what are we?
Yeah.
Who are we?
Yeah.
And as a result of that, why are we?
Yeah.
Like, these are the issues of existence. Like,
yeah.
Once you realize we as human beings have this unique privilege of knowing that we exist.
Yeah.
It's not, we aren't just like, you know, you don't even say, if you didn't know you existed, you wouldn't even think, I am here. I exist. There would be no I, because that would be self-reflexive. It would just be exist.
Yeah.
It would just be purely instinct. It would just be, you know, and so we have this privilege of being self-reflexive and of knowing I am alive.
Yeah.
But who am I even?
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, why am I here? What am I and who am I? You know, like, and these are, that's just huge. Like,
yeah.
And so that's something that is since then I've really just kind of been trying to apply that to my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we have the answer to that.
Yeah.
You know, we have the missing key that the philosophers, you know, one philosopher in particular, his whole foundation was consciousness. Your consciousness just is.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah.
There's no beginning. It just is.
Yeah.
And then he builds his philosophy on that premise. And it's like, okay, the reason your philosophy doesn't work in all places is because you're missing that X factor that you need to plug into the equation at the very beginning, and that's God. Like, your consciousness just isn't.
Yeah.
It is because of a greater consciousness that just is, and that consciousness is God.
Yeah.
And, but like all that to say, like, the issues of identity in my life, I've been like those guys at times in different ways, you know, and it's like I'm constantly coming to a greater understanding of who I am apart from Christ. Like, and as a result, who I am because of him and in him. Like, apart from him, I don't even, it's so big that it's hard to even, it's hard to articulate it, but it's like, my identity is so contrary to what we see in the world around us, to what our culture in particular tells us.
Yeah.
My identity has nothing to do with what I do.
Yeah.
With what I am capable of doing.
Yeah.
With what I've done in the past.
Yeah.
With who I surround myself with, like who I'm friends with, who I love, who I hate,
mm-hmm.
how much money I make, where I live,
yeah.
what color I am, what gender I am. Those things are not my identity.
Yeah.
And that's what our culture tells us.
Yeah.
This makes up who you are. This makes up, and you put the stamp, you exist because you have XYZ,
yeah.
and you're surrounded by XYZ, and you love so-and-so,
yeah.
and you make this much money, and this is your hobby, so therefore you are validated in your existence, and this is who you are. This is your identity.
Which essentially puts an amount on it.
Exactly. And it's like, you read the scripture, and you it's like, no.
Yeah.
This is not my identity. My identity, the identity of all mankind, if you're not a Christian, you are a child of God.
Yeah.
In the sense that you are a creation of God.
Yeah.
And you have the divine image inside of you. Like, you have the divine creator, the spark, the divine spark inside of you because you came from him.
Yeah.
But you were not a child of God in the sense of having been adopted through Christ. And by Christ. And so, like, even yesterday, God was just, like, reiterating this theme of identity and existence when Jesus rose from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, he told Mary Magdalene, he's, like, go tell my brothers. Like, he didn't, to the best of my knowledge, he didn't call him that before he died.
Yeah.
Like, now he's risen, and he's, like, go tell my brothers I'm alive.
Yeah.
And I am going to their God and my God and to their Father and my Father.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just shouting. He's like, this is your identity now.
Yeah.
This is who you are.
Yeah.
You are mine. That's your identity. That's all you need to know. Bottom line.
I just bought you.
Like, I just bought you.
For your problems.
Exactly. And it, because I love you.
Yeah.
So your identity, who are you? You are loved.
Yeah.
Because you're mine.
Yeah.
And you're mine because you're loved.
Yeah.
Period. That's it. That's it. It's like, that does not that doesn't operate in our society. That doesn't operate in our culture. Mm-hmm. But because we live in our culture and our society, it's like this constant battle of like you wait like every day.
Yeah.
I wake up and in my relationship with the Lord, it's like I have to do this to please him. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray to him. I have to pray for so and so. I have to pray for so and so. I have to not look over here because that's got something bad in it. And I have to talk this way. I have to act this way.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get rejected by God or something like that. And you know, it's fear-based. It's completely selfish. It's not focused on the Lord. It's not out of, it's not obedience out of love. It's obedience out of fear of rejection.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Romans 8, the love chapter, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So that means I'm a part of creation, so I can't.
Yeah. You know?
So like I can't. So it's this. It's just coming to an understanding that you just stop. Like every day, I'll wake up and it's go time. It's like got to make God happy. Got to make him pleased. Got to not be rejected by him. Can't be rejected by him.
Yeah.
Don't sin. Don't do this. And it's like sometimes he's just whispering, but it's like the loudest whisper you've ever heard in your life.
Just wait.
Yeah, it's like stop.
Stop.
I love you. That's your identity.
Yeah. Don't forget that.
Stop. It's like, it doesn't compute.
No.
It doesn't. It's.
We constantly feel like we have to do something.
Right. It's just like, it's in our nature. Like, I have to do something to earn my identity.
Yeah.
He's like, you did nothing to earn your identity.
Yeah.
I did everything to tell you who you are.
Yeah.
Now be that.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's this constant thing that I'm constantly, like I said, every day, because it's so counterintuitive to my nature, to all of our natures. I'm having to realize on a fundamental level, I talk about the grace of God all day long.
Yeah.
I can talk about, you know, salvation is, you know, by faith is grace through faith, you know, like, and, you know, there's nothing we can do. It's not works based. It's not religious. There's nothing you can do to earn it.
Yeah.
But then I try.
Yeah.
And it's like what I say and the way I live are completely different.
Yeah.
And God's just bringing me, you know, through a bunch of different preachers and a bunch of different, like all over, he's bringing me to this realization. It's like he's holding this mirror up to me and he's saying, at a fundamental level in the core of your heart, you're still trying to please me.
Yeah.
You're still trying to atone for your sin. You're still trying to earn my love. You're still trying to earn grace. And that's not how this works. Like, you can't, so stop.
It's not going to work.
And so I know I've been running around in circles, and I'm sure it's been really confusing, but just those issues of identity that you were talking about are very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I get what you're saying. Like, that it's... It hurts to see people doing that, but at the same time, I don't know, maybe I'm a self-absorbed person, but I always, when I see other people that way, I immediately turn to, well, how am I like that now, even though I have a relationship, you know, and I consider myself a moral person, but really, what is morality? There are plenty of moral people who are lost as geese.
You know, like, exactly.
Morality doesn't save you, you know?
Yeah.
It's that's not your identity,
you
know? And even, and like, you know, I think it's great. And I, you know, Desi and I will, Lord willing, be in the same position, you know, and that's awesome. But even that's, you know, doesn't save you.
Yeah.
And that's not your identity,
no.
You know. And if that wasn't the case, you know, there's nothing you could do to make up for it. And that wouldn't save you, you know. And
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's coming to an understanding that our fundamental identity has to be what Christ has done.
Yeah.
And who we are in him.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, we are adopted children of God.
Yeah.
We're his. We are heirs of his glory. That's our identity. That's who we are.
And nothing else.
Nothing else.
Yeah. Nothing else matters.
Nothing else.
It's just that.
Yeah.
And that's what, and I, and like when I talk to these people about this stuff at work, you know, I guess I just, I probably have a million opportunities to say it, but I always feel like I don't. And I guess I'm just going to need to have the courage to just interrupt people and just say this because they need to hear it. And whenever, because whenever I see, like whenever they talk about this kind of stuff, you know, I see that lack of understanding that, you know, that the lack of that knowledge that you just said. And, you know, some of them might listen, some of them might laugh at me and just blow me off and keep talking about sex, you know, it you know, it just depends on who they are. But it, you know, I just need to, what I need to do is just interrupt them and say, you know, none of that matters, right? Like just, I know, cause I know them saying all that stuff. If I were to say, you know, if I were to try and witness to them or something like that, I know the words that would come out of their mouth, the words that come out of, I'm too far gone. Like I can't, and I can't, you can't fix this, which is, you know, something I've heard years and years growing up. Like a bunch of people have said it before.
Yeah.
And like what they don't understand is that they'll look at, they'll hear me say that I was a virgin when I got married. My wife was a virgin when I got married, when she got married. And, you know, they'll hear me say stuff like that and they'll not, you know, I don't curse at work. I'm one of the only people who don't, one of the only people on the compound who don't curse, other Christians included.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so they'll hear that and, or not hear that. And just be like, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm not like that. I can't, you know, I can't do that. Like I can't, like there's a standard. Like, and something that, you know, which I have said to a few people that it, there is no standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm here now. This is where, this is, you know, you see the parts of my life that I've managed to hear what God was telling me to do and do an okay job, maybe, of trying to get it to where he wants it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see all the other crap that's going on. Like,
yeah,
I am where you are. Like, I'm no better, no worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just can't, the things that you worry about that you think are wrong with you just happen to be on the outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't see what's in my heart. You don't see my heart. God sees my heart, and it looks just like yours, except for he's in mine.
Yeah.
And he's, and I'm allowing him to change, to piece by piece, gradually change my heart to make it look like the way he wants it to look. And I'm still not doing a good job at doing that. And so that's what, and, you know, just, it just screams out at me on the inside. And, you know, I've been doing a terrible job at not saying it, which, you know, I need to say it. Yeah. Like, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too, is like when people say, like, well, I can't do what you're doing. It's like, I can't either.
I can't either.
I'm not. Like, you think I'm doing this. I'm just being obedient.
Yeah, exactly. Stumbling,
like, tripping and falling in obedience.
I may,
like,
not curse, but this, you should hear what's going on in here.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know? Like,
yeah.
I just pointed to my mouth and then to my
head. Yeah.
I forgot we're recording a podcast.
But yeah, it's like, I'm not either, you know? Like, I'm not doing, you think that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
This has got it at work in me.
Yeah.
Like, what you see is a result of what's going on inside. Like, it's not me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like you.
And I, you know, and I totally get what they're thinking too, because I thought the same thing about other people.
Yeah.
Like it's a struggle of mine. Like Daniel Sager.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, I thought he was Jesus. Like he could do no wrong.
Yeah.
Like he was, you know, whatever. Like, but once I, you know, he might have been the one to tell me, but like, you know, you put people on pedestals like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing two things. You're setting yourself up to be let down, and you're setting them up to let you down. Like,
right.
You know, that you put that much faith in people in that, well, this is just a small little tangent. You put that much faith in people, you're going to get let down.
Yeah.
But what you're also doing is causing problems for them because like you said, you know, those people who are thinking the same thing about us, you know, we're thinking that about other people. They're just like us too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just like them.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in the same state of broken.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. None of us are more fixed than anybody else.
Yeah.
Some of us have just figured out or have been, you know, helped into figuring out that there's a gradual way to be fixed.
Yeah.
And there's only one way to be fixed. And yeah. it's through Jesus Christ. And I don't know. I'm starting to talk in circles again. But and that I mean, that's just what people, what I really wish people would understand is that everyone is in the same state of broken. Everyone. Yeah. It's just there's some of us know that the one way to be fixed, and we're working towards it.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God,
right.
we're working towards it.
Exactly.
And it's a gradual, slow process, but one day.
Yeah.
One day there's a goal, there's an end, and we're working towards it.
Yeah.
And
even that working, like, something that I'm like, it's a complete mental and spiritual and emotional overhaul is an understanding of repentance and what repentance is, you know, like,
yeah,
understanding that I can't even repent without God's help.
Yeah.
Like, I can't turn from sin and obey him just because I want to.
Yeah.
I've tried.
Yeah.
I've wanted to plenty of times.
Yeah.
Still can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's coming to this understanding of, like, I'm incapable of any good. And we think so highly of ourselves sometimes. Like, yeah. We think, I can do a little bit of good. I just can't be Jesus good.
Yeah.
You know, and then
yeah.
Jesus shows up. He's like, you can't be good at all. Like, not even a little bit. Like,
you can't be Daniel good.
Yeah, like, you can't do it.
The good that you think Daniel's doing, yeah. he's not doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't be good.
Yeah.
You are not good.
Yeah.
You're just not.
Yeah.
But it's like, let me be good for you.
Yeah.
Trust in my goodness, and then yeah. I'll make you good.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's a C.S. Lewis quote, you know, God didn't love us because we were good, but he makes us good because he loves us.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm understanding, like, when I mess up, because I do a lot, mm-hmm. I'm even trying to change the way that I repent, because even that up till recently has been, okay, I have to make up for this. So, and I want to.
Yeah.
And you know, so like, God, I repent. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to follow you.
Yeah.
But then I try to do it on my own.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm starting to come to an understanding. I can't even do that. Like, I can't. It's like, now it's like, when I mess up in some way or something, I'm like, God, help me to repent.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like David in Psalm 51 is like, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. You know, and it's like, make me willing to obey you.
Yeah.
And it's, that's the right attitude. It's like saying, God, I can't even be willing to obey you yeah. without your help.
Yeah.
I can't even repent right without you. Like, I just can't do it, yeah. you know? So it's an understanding that everything good, every good desire that I have, everything, anything good
yeah.
is only there because God put it there.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, like, we're all in the same state of broken. It's just that some of us are at different levels of trusting in God's goodness to be our own goodness.
Yeah.
Making his righteousness our own righteousness.
Yeah. We talked for a long time.
We really did.
I love these episodes, though, because it does not feel like we just talked for 43 minutes.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
We just need to pray that somehow this doesn't get deleted or something.
Yeah, that's happened to shut your mouth.
What, where's what? Because that's happened to every one of these podcasts that have been like this.
Yeah.
So, well, that's our time. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter. It's Poser Podcast, at Poser Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're Poser Podcast. Email, we're poserpodcast@gmail.com.
gmail.com.
The number still works. I checked it this week. It's 290-2212. 290-2212. Leave us some feedback there. Or you yeah. know,
next whatever. Time you're on iTunes, you know, hitting up the sweet tunes, drop by and leave us a review or something.
Tell Ben how much you wish you hadn't said that. Because that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I guess that's all. Did I forget anything?
I guess not.
No. Let us know if you want us to make some more videos.
Yeah.
We're gonna start trying to, but
yeah,
we need to know you'll watch them.
And we have crappy computers.
Yeah, so we're going to get some help from our buddy Nick Trenum, but he doesn't know that yet. So, we'll
surprise.
See. And we'll also find out if he listens to this or not. Yeah. Now, so, all right, well, take it easy.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah?
Don't stare at that potato.
Don't do it. Don't stare at the potato.
Stop
it. Oh, wait, I was going to say something.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, when, you know how we were just talking about how people ask us about what the podcast is about, but no, we don't know how to tell them?
Yeah.
Because we'll tell them that it's a podcast. This podcast is not about nothing. It's about everything. That's why we're in the podcast. Burped.